This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games, or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts.
Mark Reardon.
It's Donald Trump's party, and his GOP opponents can cry if they want to.
Woke has to stop, because along with everything else, it's destroying our country.
Mark Reardon.
We'll fight hard.
Sitting in his golden palace, Mar-a-Lago, muscling other countries like he's Tony Soprano with a social media site.
Woke is bullshit.
This is the Mark Reardon Show.
Yeah, you're right, Ethan. That's my favorite open for sure. We're letting that thing roll, and Ethan's like, yeah, I think that's my favorite. And I think I'm going to have to vote for that one as well. How is everyone this afternoon? Hi, Fred.
Good. Hey.
Hi, Sue. I didn't do ladies first, though.
Hi, that's okay.
Hi, Ethan.
What is up?
We're getting rocking here, and it's raining pretty hard outside. Sue, you've been here for a little while. Sometimes you roll in a little later because you split your schedule, but when I came in, it was not pouring rain. It was very windy.
Yes.
And now it's raining, and I guess this is what we're going to get. That'll make the commute really, really easy this afternoon, won't it?
Yeah, I'm going to transition into paying attention to traffic. Oh, it's pouring. I didn't realize.
You know, this was my last day of sanity in my neck of the woods because I mentioned yesterday Hillsborough Road closes near my home, and now I have to go way out to Gravois just to loop around to do normal things. So that's not good for many people in my neighborhood and really beyond my neighborhood. But here's what's amazing. What I mentioned yesterday is the Rockwood School District, like my daughter goes to Stanton Elementary, and there's Rockwood Middle and Summit High School all in the neighborhoods, not just my subdivision, but the neighborhoods where I live. And as of what time is it? 3:09. There's still been nothing from Rockwood on what the buses are going to do because they didn't even know about this. Valley Park forgot to tell them yesterday. So we still don't know what the buses are going to do, and that's going to be interesting. Fred, here's the reality for you and I. I'm going to have a lot longer in the car when I take my daughter to school in the morning, so we're going to be chatting a lot.
Oh, that's right.
Between about 8:20 and 8:45, we're going to have some conversations.
Good deal.
Sue, you had some interesting results on your block in Holly Hills today, didn't you?
Yep. Overnight, 10 cars were broken into. They knocked out the driver's side windows, and somebody on the camera, you know, everybody's got a camera now.
Of course.
Dwight, at the end of the block, said there was a red crossover vehicle at about in the 2 o'clock hour that went down. Somebody who was armed and three Utes were going down the street. One was armed and protecting the two that were knocking out windows.
Wow.
And by the time my neighbor Rick told me about it in the 6 o'clock hour this morning, he said, oh, you better come out because, you know, it's going to rain. And
right.
Of course, so my whole street was covered with garbage bag covered windows.
Yeah. I posted this picture on
10 vehicles.
X formerly Twitter at Mark Reardon KFTK. Now, I only have four that are caught in the picture that you share with me. Mm-hmm. But is it or is it not very symbolic on this election day. It's election day in St. Louis. In the city of St. Louis, people are going to the ballots, or maybe they voted already because you did have early voting, to decide on whether Tisch is going to be in the runoff. First, we have to talk about there's two elections. So whoever the top two finishes are today will square off in a few weeks. But look, Tishara might not make it through the first round. I think that's the hope.
That is the hope. And I will say I have two former police officers on my street, and they said what bothered them was, well, several things about it, but we all had a police report. The police came by in the 3 o'clock hour, which is great, but it looks like they count all 10 cars as one event,
yeah,
one crime, and that's part of how these Tishy stash stats are just completely skewed.
Yeah, I retweeted the picture, or I tweeted the picture out, and then Jane retweeted it, and that's one of the points that Ms. Duker made, just one crime report. But it's quite stunning when you see just a line of cars, and they have garbage bags in, you know, replace of the driver's side window because they've all been busted out. And this happens, unfortunately, on a regular basis. Now, look, I had my car stolen from the suburbs, so it does happen in the suburbs. But here's the deal. The people that are going to the suburbs are from the city. Right?
I don't know.
Well, they are. That's what anyone will tell you, that there's gangs. Look, that's not happenstance what happened in your neighborhood. It's organized. Right?
Yeah, they go out. Organized. Oh, and another neighbor said, hey, didn't we see that on Nextdoor? Because somebody had video of that of a red vehicle and three guys doing the same thing. It's organized.
What's scary about that is that they had a guy with a gun that was like covering them.
That's what it looked like.
So
on
if
the
you
camera.
Came out and heard something, to take a look, and say, "Hey,
you don't know,
that's dangerous."
How old were the kids? Because this is something else that happens with these crews. You know, when my home in Holly Hills, when I lived there, and it's been a while, it was robbed twice, and on the second occurrence, they actually found the people that did it, and it was a kid that snuck into the basement window, very narrow window, but he was like 14 or 15 years old. But again, they do that because the kids are just going to be charged as juveniles, so the consequences aren't that much. So the people that are running the show here, they know that.
They do, and I haven't seen the video, Fred. That was just Dwight's summation. But the video I saw on Nextdoor, they were teens. But you can't really tell.
No, it's hard to tell.
They were not small. How about that?
So you don't have a whole lot of people who live in the city of St. Louis anymore. There's just about 300,000. That's kind of a round figure. But wouldn't it kind of be perceived that counting the votes tonight should take about 3 minutes? I mean, how long would it realistically take to count votes in the city of St. Louis? Most of them, I think a fair portion of them were cast before today. So you voted early or not?
No.
Okay.
Carl did on the Mark Cox Show. Carl, the intern, he voted at the library on Saturday. So, yeah,
I know
people
a lot
have been
people,
doing both.
Yeah, I know a lot of people who voted early. So we'll have the reaction. I still have people telling me, I find it a little hard to believe that Tishara is not going to finish in the top two. Kara Spencer, the alderwoman, maybe expected to be in there. But Michael Butler is a guy that people seem to like. I don't know him. Fred, if he does make it here to the next round, we should get him in here and have a conversation and see what he's all about. But I think a lot of people, whether you're Democrat, Republican, or otherwise, you just want some change in the city of St. Louis because there are some good things that are occurring in the, you know, sort of in the background. But man, this crime thing and just attention to public services and everything being framed around race and all this other nonsense, I'm exhausted by it. And I think a lot of people are exhausted by it. So tonight you have an address by the president. You'll hear it here on 97.1 FM Talk.
What do you want to hear from the president?
That the Musk is being sent packing.
Americans can expect Donald Trump to say many things that are false, including perhaps Russian information.
What he is doing is not normal. It is not acceptable. And I won't be attending.
This is not the direction we need to go. This is not leadership, regardless of what Donald Trump says.
Everybody, show up. Get in your seats. And when he's introduced, sit in.
So there's all kinds of stunts that might occur tonight. Fred, we were just looking at a list that they were putting up on Fox. They may have some empty egg cartons and things like that.
They've got those clapper hands,
right,
you know, that they can use.
The talking point, what happened this morning is a bunch of the Democrats coordinated a video, and this is what the message was.
When I win, I will immediately bring prices down starting on day one.
That ain't true. That's what you just saw.
That ain't true. And that's what you just heard.
That ain't true. That's what you just saw.
That ain't true.
Yeah.
That's what you just heard.
So that's their talking about. Now, look, we have to be at least honest about something here. There were claims that were made by the president about reducing prices. So the proof is going to have to be in the proverbial pudding at a certain point. There's a lot of people nervous about these tariffs right now. I'm nervous about the tariffs. I don't think that this is something that might result in the end, in economic activity and growth. We're still on the cusp. perhaps of a recession. Now, the other thing that's going to happen here is a lot of people are going to tag Trump for things that he does not deserve to be tagged with, because some of this comes from the previous administration. But having said that, we've all criticized the previous administration when they said, oh, this is Trump, this is Trump. There comes a point where you have to say, okay, what's really going on here? And my sense is that there's a lot of people behind the scenes, whether it's members of Congress that aren't willing to speak up right now, or other people that are in Doge land that might be affected here, that aren't happy with a lot of this stuff, but they're keeping their mouth shut. So we'll see what happens tonight with the speech. I'm actually very much looking forward to it. We had Senator Eric Schmidt, who I don't know if I said this yesterday, but I'll just say it out loud today. And I'm just going to be honest with people, because I had a good relationship, I felt, with Senator Hawley for many years. I will, you know, say that I helped put him on the radar here in St. Louis when I was on KMOX, because he started appearing when he was simply a law professor at Mizzou. And then what happened was I asked a tough question. Actually, it wasn't even that tough after January 6th, and they blackballed me ever since. But I bring it up because you know who's on the media all the time? It ain't Josh Hawley anymore. It's Eric Schmidt. I mean, he's everywhere. He was on Fox this morning. Laura Ingraham loves him. He's very well-spoken. Well, I've known Eric for a long time. He's a personal friend. But he has really sharpened his communication skills.
Yeah.
And the one thing that, and Fred, you know this, because there's things that have happened with politicians, and sometimes you hear people do things, and Eric was one of these guys. He had some crutches. We all have crutches, right?
Oh,
the radio
gosh,
has crutches.
Yes.
So he had some crutches that were rather uncomfortable. They worked him out. I never even said anything about him, but they worked him out. And the reason Trump likes him is because he's a common sense guy.
Exactly. And he sounds common sense.
Right. Now, Hawley, I don't oppose Josh's position on a majority of the issues. I don't want to be misunderstood there. I just think he's a big baby for not coming back on the show. And, you know, I'll stand by that. But Schmidt is kind of on fire with a variety of these issues.
To my Democrat colleagues who, you know, are threatening not to show up, shame on you. We're all Americans. Let's get this thing delivered on behalf of the American people and stop being so partisan.
All right. On the topic of Zelensky, because now we got a little news today. Zelensky's trying to kowtow, maybe apologize, maybe thinking twice about this. I have an outstanding column by Matt Taibbi on this topic that I'll get to at some point this afternoon.
Maybe it was a little bit of a change of pace of what Zelensky's used to hearing, but that's the truth. And I think that the sooner he comes around to that reality, which it sounds like maybe with that tweet this morning or that post this morning, maybe he's recognizing the reality that this is his best shot.
Look at the Democrat leadership. Let me go back to some of the talking points. This is Hakeem Jeffries. Now, look, let's be honest here. The Republicans have a very narrow one-seat majority. You know, that could flip in the midterms very easily. Hakeem Jeffries would be the leader of the Senate. He'd be the Speaker of the House in all, you know, theory, because they could vote on someone else. But Pelosi's not in leadership. It's Hakeem Jeffries. He says a lot of stupid things.
The American people are with us all across the country. People are rising up to push back against the assault on the economy, the assault on hardworking families, the assault on our democracy, and the assault on Medicaid. We don't need aid protesters, bro. The American people are with us.
Yeah, this is a guy and a party that for 3.5, 4 years said nothing about the things that were going on in the White House. He has no credibility whatsoever. And I think he will be put, and many Democrats will be put in their place tonight during that speech. Here's Ilhan Omar, someone who hates America, predicting what might happen tonight.
We shouldn't be surprised if we see walkouts. We shouldn't be surprised if we see, you know, the kind of coordinated effort in dressing a certain way to send a message. We shouldn't be surprised if we see people might even, you know, verbally react to some of the lies that we know he is going to tell.
Yeah, so they're going to throw a little hissy fit tonight and do, you know, the normal Democrat clown show stuff. Here's Carolyn with Brian Kilmeade, who's going to join us on Thursday, I think. Right, Fred?
The theme is the renewal of the American dream. And the renewal of the American dream is underway already. Look at all that President Trump has accomplished in his first month as president. He's going to highlight some of those accomplishments. He's also going to talk about his plans to fix the economic mess that was created and left for him by Joe Biden in his administration.
Is the president worried about disruptions?
No, I don't think we're worried about that. I think, frankly, the Democrats should think about if they should stand up and applause for some of the things President Trump will be talking about.
Look, I encourage the disruptions because I think they'll look foolish tonight. There's a bunch of people that will be up there and they will be featured during the speech, including someone like Peyton McNabb, who is a female athlete that was hurt by a boy that she should not have been playing against.
My senior year of high school, I was permanently injured in a high school volleyball game by a male athlete who was pretending to be a woman on the other team. They told me that I had a concussion, a brain bleed, and permanent whiplash, partial paralysis, vision problems.
Yeah, terrible. Peyton will be in the gallery and will be featured tonight. Now, I feel like I almost need to use our new sounder here because I'm going to talk about something.
And now, this Doge update.
I mean, whoa.
On the Mark Reardon Show.
This is peripherally related to Doge, ladies and gentlemen. I have to really apologize. I made a mistake on some of this stuff. Every once in a while, we're coming to terms with our mistakes and how we were wrong. And I just, Sue and Fred, I have to admit this afternoon, because I've been told over and over and over by my friends on the left, on Twitter, here on this show, you know, even some friends of mine, that, you know, there's no fraud. Where's the fraud? You're not finding any fraud here, right? Well, there's a lot of fraud. But listen to this story. I mean, I'm confused because I thought there was no fraud. So I'm going to highlight something here. You tell me if there's any fraud involved here. Now, admittedly, I said it was on the periphery here, so it's not Doge related, but you consider this and kind of chew on this bit of information here and tell me what you think. This is a story from our local paper this afternoon that says a federal grand jury has indicted the two founders of the nonprofit, the Bailey Foundation, who are accused of stealing more than $7 million from a federal program, wait for it, meant to feed low-income children.
There it is.
Yeah, nice, right? This is unbelievable when you hear the details here. Dyara Williams, the executive director of the foundation, and her husband, Nicholas Warford, are accused of defrauding two state-administered food programs. These are the people being caught. Okay, let's keep that in mind. Prosecutors say that the two lied about the amount of food the nonprofit purchased with taxpayer funds and routed payments through a catering company owned by Warford. It was called Warford's Classic Catering. So the feds accused them of using the money to purchase a $1.4 million house in Edwardsville on Rock Ridge Court, three vehicles worth more than $100,000, more than $140,000 in vacations. Gosh, I wonder if they went with Tish anywhere. That would be a good thing to cross-reference. They also claimed to the IRS that some of the payments, including $460,000 that was sent to this dude's mom, were business expenses of Warford's Classic Catering. So they sent mom $500,000. $500,000. Here's the special agent in charge of the FBI. We haven't met Chris Crocker yet. We had this great relationship with FBI directors. Fred, I don't know what's going on here, but we don't know Chris Crocker, who's not the official. He's the acting special agent. He says the alleged fraud is beyond despicable. The defendants allegedly stole millions in taxpayer dollars meant to feed low-income children in Missouri for their own use. So you can actually even go to the website right now. Here's Dyara Williams, the woman who's accused of all this.
The Foundation is a youth and family-centered organization providing growth and generational wellness and development.
My goal, my focus, my function are people.
Yeah, my function is to rip off the taxpayers of $7 million that was supposed to go to little kids who are hungry. Jeez. In St. Louis. There you go. There's a little fraud for you.
So I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Alma said, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Alma said it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Alma said with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby. If you enjoy football, and brotherly banter, be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys.
Here's some stories from my NFL playing days, goofy conversations about everyday life, giving you entertaining lessons on the pitches across the pond, fun, relatable guests, and what it means to live life on purpose.
New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday. Be sure to subscribe to Kicking It with the Crosbys on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, my proverbial cup runneth over here this afternoon, Sue. I have amazing audio to share. Wait till you hear this Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Board from Oshkosh, Wisconsin. You're going to ask yourself, what the hell are we doing in this country? I think a lot of people are asking that. What the hell are we doing? Congressman Bob Onder is with us this afternoon, newly elected to Congress from the St. Charles area. And his first joint session of Congress tonight with President Trump doing the speech. You'll hear it here on 97.1 FM Talk. Congressman, how are you on this Tuesday afternoon?
I am doing really well, Mark. Thanks for having me back.
What are your expectations? We've talked about this before. It's got to be pretty cool and overwhelming as a new member of Congress, but you're going to sit in that room. There's going to be some disruptions. But on your side, a lot of people really supporting what the president's doing right now and hoping for momentum. So what are your expectations heading into tonight?
Yeah, I think it's really exciting, Mark. This will, of course, be my first State of the Union address, and I think we'll hear from President Trump a lot of touting of his accomplishments, promises made, promises kept, whether that be his work toward getting our fiscal house in order, renewing the Trump tax cuts, securing the border, restoring safe, sane energy policy. It's amazing. From the Biden peak of about 11,000 illegal border crossings a day, we're down about 97%. So already President Trump is fulfilling his agenda. And then we in Congress, of course, have our part of funding those important programs like the border wall, like immigration enforcement and more border patrol agents. And of course, he needs us to make permanent some of these policy changes that right now he's making by executive order.
Hey, Bob, you know how I and the audience know all that information about the border? Because CBS and CNN, ABC and the New York Times, they've been just blasting that all over the
right?
place, right? I mean, this is the same group of legacy media that didn't want to address the real issue at the border. And now that there's been success, and to your point, Congressman, the numbers are staggering. I mean, it's not even close,
yeah,
right?
It's just incredible. Remember when Joe Biden and Kamala Harris were telling us that we couldn't enforce the border until we passed the Biden amnesty bill?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that we had to allow basically what amounted to, I believe, 1 million illegal aliens a year before the president can close the border. The border crossings were going down after Trump was elected on November 5th, because illegal aliens knew that America was no longer going to be taken advantage of, that we were going to enforce immigration law, and that you could go through all the trouble of making your way through Central America, through Mexico, pay the coyotes and drug traffickers a whole bunch of money to bring you across the border, but you might be put on a plane and shipped back to your country of origin. So, no, it's incredible. I think Trump was able to secure the border even quicker than I would have imagined.
Congressman Bob Onder is with us. Let's talk about Zelensky and what happened last week. And we can kind of bring it full circle to maybe a little kowtowing today. But what's interesting, Congressman, is I've been on the horn the last couple of days with, I guess you would call these maybe more establishment members of your body or former members of the body. And behind the scenes, there's a lot of people that are uncomfortable with what happened with Trump and Zelensky. And I guess my point has been, look, this war is not winnable, and I don't know what people expect to happen here, and I don't want to give everything to Putin, and I think there should be conditions on Putin, but there does seem to be an unwillingness on the part of a lot of people, even maybe on the right side of the spectrum, in understanding that there's not a win here for Ukraine if we don't stop the bloodshed and we don't stop the fighting, and that's seemingly the priority of President Trump right now.
Yeah, I agree with that. Look, President Trump, I believe, has it exactly right. I believe the whole world cheered when Zelensky and the Ukrainians bravely fought back against the Russians 3 years ago. And, I think a lot of us expected Ukraine to be overrun in 3 days or 3 weeks, but the Ukrainians fought back. But we have invested a lot of money, something like $350 billion in that conflict, but even worse, the Ukrainians, the Russians have lost so many young lives. I mean, the Ukrainians now are to the point that they are conscripting 40- and 50-year-olds and sending them with minimal training right to the front. It is a bloodbath. It is unwinnable. It is unsustainable for us fiscally. And it's time for an end to this conflict. And I think President Trump is the one to broker a deal that will be fair, that I don't think either side will be happy with, but that it will at least stop the bloodshed.
And you hope that maybe there's going to be some progress on that. I mentioned there's a great column by this guy, Matt Taibbi, and Bob, I don't know if you're familiar with him, but he's kind of a reformed liberal, and he used to write for Rolling Stone, and he wrote a great column about, you know, really giving some great history about the background of all this. But one of the things that stuck out, in the end, he says, I generally have sympathy for people like Zelensky. The former Soviet Union is a place where success is mostly reserved for men of violence, and anyone outside that club who manages to rise usually needs a big bag of other extraordinary qualities. But this politician allowed his persona to become just another legend in line with U.S. foreign policy objectives, forgetting that voters decide what those objectives are, not contractors who don't answer the phone, or Keir Starmer, the Prime Minister of England, or any hundreds of other officials who think that they know what wars we in this country must support. And what Matt said to close it out, and I think this speaks for a lot of people who supported President Trump, he said, I'm tired of being lied to about why this mess can't get fixed and just want to move on. Is there really anyone left who doesn't feel the same way? And that's what I guess I would say about my friends on the left. Yeah. What's the path here? Where is the path to victory?
Well, I don't think there is. And I think Zelensky in his meeting with Trump just, you know, exuded arrogance. I think he's been on the cover of Vanity Fair magazine. He's been on the cover of People magazine. He thinks he can put on his sweatshirt, and he has such star power. He could go around the president of the United States and we will make Trump give him unlimited amounts of money. But I think what the American people have realized is that this is an unwinnable war. We've invested $1/3 trillion at a time when we're going bankrupt ourselves, and that it's time for the war to end. And Zelensky apparently does not want it to end. So as Trump said, come back when you're ready for peace. You're not ready for peace. So I'm with President Trump on this one.
What about the tariffs, Congressman? Because I'm a little uncomfortable. Look, the we're going to see what happens here, but if we get down the road a few weeks, couple of months, and these prices start to spike even higher than they are, you have the Democrats using this as a weapon, and I understand it politically right now, saying, look, there were promises that were made, you know, for day one for prices to come down. Now you have the possibility where prices might go up dramatically because of some of these tariffs. Now, I understand there's negotiating that's going on here, but thoughts on that, because I can't help but feel that some members of your district aren't going to be pleased with a lot of this if it heads in a direction where it's going to cost us a lot more money at the grocery store, et cetera.
Yeah. Look, I am not for tariffs for tariffs' sake. Tariffs are taxes. So if tariffs are used as a negotiating tactic to get cooperation in securing our southern or our northern border, Canada or Mexico, I think that's as a temporary measure, tariffs are fine. Likewise, if we are being taken advantage of, or our technology is being stolen, or there are national security issues at stake, as in the case of China, I think there is a role for tariffs. But to me, the sooner tariffs can come to an end, the better.
Hey, listen, have fun tonight. I think it's going to be pretty awesome to be in that room.
I think it will. Yeah. I think it will.
All right. Hey, thank you, Bob. So I appreciate it. Take care. That's Congressman Bob Onder with us here this afternoon. Let me kind of go to the issue. I want to tie a couple things in here. You know who's trying to make a little bit of a comeback? Maybe not a comeback, but she's finally emerging after 3 or 4 months as KJP.
So, really?
Well, my guess is there's probably a book or something like that, but she gave some interviews last week, and she's not really backing down. You know, some of the quotes last week, and I think I played some of the audio, is that, you know, it was like a firing squad after that first debate, and she was criticizing a lot of the Democrats. But here she is on the, clearly the most politically important show in America, The View, talking about Trump having a mandate or not.
We have to be super mindful and careful of this, because he does not have a mandate. And what I mean by that is, if you look at the numbers, just look at the facts, he won with the smallest margin of the popular vote since the 19th century. He's on his way in the first 100 days to be the most unpopular president in their first 100 days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That is not a mandate. This is not normal.
No. And it's
this
a five alarm, normal. As you say.
It is a five right. alarm fire.
Well, first of all, it's not 100 days. And all the polling that I've seen at this point has been very positive. Could we potentially get to that point where the number that she's throwing out there is true? Maybe, but I certainly don't see that in the works right now. And the other thing about that is, let's think about the numbers of where they are, which is mostly positive, with the media working against Trump on pretty much every front.
Yes.
But what was interesting about that conversation on The View about the mandate is, you know, this guy, I've featured him, I can kind of put him into perspective here for people who don't know him. His name is Stephen A. Smith, and he's an ESPN guy. And Ethan, is it fair to say, like, maybe his wheelhouse is more the NBA. He's been on ESPN forever, right?
Yeah, NBA, NFL is definitely where his strengths lead.
But he's outspoken and he's got energy, and you know, you can agree with him or disagree with him, but he brings the fire. There's no doubt about that. He's on The View and he's talking politics.
Only been in office for 6 weeks. Seems like 6 years, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And he's been going around with his cronies touting his so-called landslide and blowout win. But he won the popular vote by 1.5%, mm-hmm. one of the smallest ever,
mm-hmm.
and he won the general election by less than 50%. So what kind of mandate is this really?
Well, all right, so first of all, before I let him answer, he's got a great answer here, a great couple of answers. Isn't it awesome? And I really do want to know how this happens. Is it like a little postcard that gets sent out? Is it a text message with all the talking points? Or how does that get coordinated between all the members on Capitol Hill and then those members in the media, right? It's Fox is not included in the talking points, but everyone else is.
It is a mandate, and I'm going to explain why. And I don't mind the question, but let me be very clear. I'm no supporter of Trump. I'm a supporter of truth and the facts. And here's the facts. The man won every swing state. He increased in terms of his voter turnout in his favor from the standpoint of blacks, Latinos, and young voters. He increased his numbers in that regard from 2020. 89% of the counties shifted to the right. That's a mandate.
So he's basically saying, look, elections have consequences.
We can sit up there and play around all we want to. In 2020, Trump didn't win the popular vote. He didn't win the Electoral College vote. A matter of fact, the Republicans hadn't won the popular vote, if I remember correctly, since 2004.
Yeah, that's right.
But they did this year. So 20 years after they last won a popular vote, they won the popular vote. They won the Electoral College vote. The man won every swing state. And on top of it, 89% of the counties shifted gears. I don't understand how people can look at that and say, there's no mandate. There's a mandate.
What's a different definition of a mandate, I guess.
But the problem is that if you're the Democratic Party and you lost 49.8% to 48.3% and you're looking at that 1.5% dip, that's an excuse for you to say, what we did really wasn't that bad.
Well, some people didn't
we should
show
continue
up.
To do that.
Do you
no,
think that those
don't continue
those,
to do that. Find a new strategy.
So you could hear Sonny Hostin in the background there. Could you pick up? And she goes, well, some people didn't pick up.
Yeah.
So that's their excuse. Well, we didn't drive enough people to the polls. Are you kidding me? This was nobody. There was nobody except for maybe TJ Moe on my show. And there were some people out there, certainly on our side of things. There were not a lot of people that are predicting a sweep. Let's face it.
Oh, for sure.
That was an amazing achievement, whether these vote totals were close or not. And they promised to get the work done on the part of the American people. And they're actually doing it right now. So it is interesting the way that he kind of slapped them down right there. Stephen A. Smith on The View. We're going to take a break. I'm going to come back with, sometimes it's hard to pin down what diversity, equity, and inclusion is. Oh, I have a gem of an example from Oshkosh, Wisconsin, coming up next. Come by, see us at Fish Fry Fridays. We're going to be live this week. We start all this on Friday at Holy Trinity Serbian Orthodox Church. We'll have a live Reardon Roundtable. We'll be there for the 4 o'clock hour. Jane usually hangs out until 6 o'clock. So if you want to, heckle her just a little bit, that's welcome. Sue will be there. Fred will be there. Unfortunately, I'm not too happy, but we have some staffing issues, so Ethan cannot be on location, which I'm kind of bummed out
about.
Well,
that's a bummer.
It is. However, on the flip side, I have someone very dependable to operate things back here at the studio.
Well,
and that's not
true.
Always the case sometimes, so I'll look at the positives. Also, Brian Kilmeade is coming back in a couple of weeks. That show is coming up on the 22nd. It's 2 weeks from this Saturday at the Factory in Chesterfield. There are tickets available. We are expecting a sellout, and if you'd like to add an exclusive VIP meet and greet experience, you can do that at briankilmeade.com. So check that out. And by the way, our friends at the Retirement Advisory Group and Bob and Tammy Kershaw are sponsoring that. So we hope to see you not only on Friday, but at the Kilmeade event here in a few weeks. In the next hour, we have Sue's News. Oh, I'm telling you, I got good stuff here that I haven't gotten to. Blake Hurst will be here after 5 o'clock. He is a corn, soybean, and greenhouse farmer in Tarkio, Missouri. All these questions about egg prices, the bird flu, the tariffs, he'll answer some of those questions. Our friend Joe Warmington, who is a Toronto Sun columnist and not necessarily a fan of Justin Trudeau, will give us his perspective on the tariffs coming up here as well. On the Trudeau front, here's his game that he was playing today. He's talking about the tariffs.
Let me be crystal clear. There is absolutely no justification or need whatsoever for these tariffs today.
So he's saying, and we could be right a little bit here, that this is going to hurt Americans. Now, he also is not calling Trump by president, listen.
Now I want to speak directly to one specific American. Donald.
Yeah, he won't call him Mr. President. He won't call. They're going to play this game back and forth.
Now, it's not in my habit to agree with the Wall Street Journal. But Donald, they point out that even though you're a very smart guy, this is a very dumb thing to do. We two friends fighting is exactly what our opponents around the world want to see.
So I'd love to hear Joe Warmington's response to this, and he'll be with us in the 5 o'clock hour. But here's the part where I think he falls flat, the guy with the pretty hair, Justin Trudeau.
What he wants is to see a total collapse of the Canadian economy, because that'll make it easier to annex us, is the second half of his thought. Now, first of all, that's never going to happen. We will never be the 51st state. But yeah, he can do damage to the Canadian economy, and he's started this morning. But he is rapidly going to find out, as American families are going to find out, that that's going to hurt people on both sides of the border.
Do you think that the goal here is to annex Canada? I know that Trump playfully calls him, the governor in the 51st state, and I understand he's going to, do this back and forth, and he's not going to call him by Mr. President. And by the way, there are, I have deep concerns about the effect that the tariffs might have on everyone's pocketbooks here and the prices in the United States. But I also know that Justin Trudeau is a rhymes with wussy, yes. And I have no respect for him whatsoever. He lies constantly. And, I know that there are people, and that's why we give some voices to folks up there like Joe Warmington and others. Billboard Chris Elston, I saw him tweeting about some of this stuff today as well. So there's not everyone in Canada is on the same page as Justin Trudeau. We said this last week, though, realistically, man, they'd be in so much better shape if they were the 51st state.
No kidding.
I know that's kind of extreme and they don't like to hear this, but I think they would be in better shape. All right, we're going to break here at the top of the hour. When we return, we'll have some concert news. And it's very ironic. So I talked about something yesterday and there was a big announcement today. So I want to highlight that. And do you know who, I got to get to this. And this is one of those days, I'm just being honest with you, that we got a lot of stuff going on. I may even take some phone calls in the next hour. Do you know who Michael Rapaport is?
Yeah.
You know who he is. He's an actor, right?
Uh-huh.
And he's on Howard Stern's show, has been for a while. He's a comedian and actor. I think maybe stand-up is his first forte, but he has been very, very active in the last couple years, 2.5 years, on the topic of Israel because he's Jewish. And some of the anti-Semitic things that have even occurred to him and happened to him are quite stunning. He wrote a column that was unbelievably good that I want to share. So we may do that after Sue's news in the next hour. So I got a lot to go to, and I didn't get to this Oshkosh stuff. So just let me give you a little preview of this. I had a friend that sent this to me, and sometimes I get these pieces of audio and I realistically have to just say, okay, is this real? Because it's so crazy. It's from a meeting from a couple of days ago, actually just last week in Oshkosh, Wisconsin,
okay,
which is to the northeast of Milwaukee, southwest of Green Bay. Lovely place. I've been there. I've fished a lot of times in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. But they had their Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Committee that met. And when you hear what the people on that committee actually said, you're going to ask yourself, what in the actual F are we doing in this country? I think that's what a lot of people said Election Day, too.
Get more at 971talk.com.